Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
At Christmas, all roads lead to home is how Marjorie Holmes put it. Welcome home. Welcome home to the experience of a Christmas Eve, the celebration of the gift of God's love. The understanding that in the Christ event, God showed the world that everyone was loved equally, no one more or less. And by that, by name, we are known. To think of shepherds, throwaway people for many in the region of Israel, but they play a key role. The wise men, foreigners, traveling from far away, coming to the home of Bethlehem to worship the King. Many of you have traveled a distance to be in the sanctuary of Trinity Baptist Church this evening. What a gift it is for it to be with you as you've joined with family and friends here. Others of you will be traveling later in this week to be with family. We're glad that in the Holland household, all of us will be together this evening. It's a remarkable nature of being at home with each other. But the home of Christmas is the home of being at home with God. And that's being at home with God wherever we are. The power of this season is to let the feeling of Christmas lead us into our joyous desire to receive the Christ, to commit to the Christ, and to follow the Christ. But then to know that that feeling takes us to the belief and to heart commitment of every day. That we ultimately become, from this Christmas Eve experience of the home of our sanctuary, to be Christmas missionaries wherever you are through the course of the year. That's why Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, in the time of great despair in his own life, heard the bells on Christmas Day and wrote a carol sung around the world. It's why Phillips Brooke, a single pastor from Boston at the close of the Civil War and utter depression, sailed the seas to Bethlehem and found the healing of his broken soul and wrote, O Little Town of Bethlehem. That's why in England, the atheist Peter Hitchens snuck into a Christmas service and heard the carols again that brought him back to that feeling of wonder of the Christ, and all of his disbelief simply vanished in light of the truth of the Christ that greeted him in his time. Some of you have stood along the graveside in this past year. I've stood with many of you at that location. This evening brings layers of grief and sorrow, knowing that life is not the same as on this Christmas Eve as it has been in the past, because one whom you have loved is no longer seated next to you. And yet you know in the power of God's love that cannot be defeated, in the truth of Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life, God truly has bridged heaven and earth and created that home of Christmas in heaven to be truly celebrated. Others of you have experienced the power of new belief in Christ, and this is your first Christmas as believers. Others of you have stepped into the experience of being married, and this is your first Christmas to share together in the joy of a husband and wife. You come into this experience with a feel of new or maybe of old, and the God of all time, the Alpha and the Omega, is here to greet you just where you are. And what does he want you to hear? I'll highlight one message. It's what the angels told the shepherds on that field outside of Bethlehem, 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. The married couple, Mary and Joseph, had made their arduous, difficult a trip of 85 miles requiring probably 5 days from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And it was the night then that it all happened, in which the Christ was born and the angels brought the message and said, don't be afraid. We can feel the fear that God is so big, so powerful, so wonderful. We realize that we can't control God. We must allow ourselves to be obedient unto him. Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news. That's the gospel. I bring you good news of great joy, the feeling that comes with the power of being loved, that born today in your hometown of Bethlehem, It's the fulfillment of all the prophecy and the power, the Christ child. And then they gave words that seem almost too pageantry, too colorful, to be broken down to have that meaning. And yet there they are. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all people on whom God's favor rests. That's the line. That's the line that enables us to be the Christmas missionaries year-round. Helen Steiner Rice put it this way: if we are to have peace on earth, we must live Christmas every day. Glory to God in the highest. Glory means to let God be God. It's to reveal God. It's to allow the majesty and the wonder and the creative power of God to truly be worshipped and to be revealed in our life and to the lives of others. Jesus, the man, the Messiah on his mission, would say, "Let your light shine before people in such a way that they will see your good works and give glory to the God the Father." The power of our life, then, is not trying to absorb more and more attention upon us like celebrities. And you've learned in life that when you try to get more and more attention on you to feel more and more secure in an insecure world, we can never get enough of that. We're always aching for more. But if we will allow the attention go into our Heavenly Lord, then God gives us the attention to know that we have a purpose and a place and a people and a passion by which to live here on earth. And that's what we ache for. And then we get the notice in the right ways, noticing of his love and for people through a kindness and a goodness and a sense of being family with each other. To let the glory of your light and your life shine into the world. Soon you'll be holding a candle. You'll flip the switch and the light will come on. To be as a symbol come July 4th or Labor Day throughout the coming year, that is the light of your belief and your deeds shining out into the world of who God is, this Christ child. So on earth, and how our earth aches for peace in troubled times, hard news coming from the Middle East, rock and roll of the Dow Jones, difficult periods of knowing where stability will be found in our world. And it seems like, what can we do and what can we control? And the good news is, you have great power, that from the inside out, from the people like the shepherds or the wise people or the people of Bethlehem or Mary and Joseph or Anna and Simeon in the temple, seemingly everyday people doing the remarkable nature of trusting in their place in God's purposes. And God worked through them to change a world, announcing and showing that Christ was real. Never, ever sell yourself short. Allow yourself to feel the same kind of power of what the shepherds were hearing from the angels. The bridge had been built, the passage had been made, the Christ had come from heaven to earth, and to build his kind of peace on earth, because in you the light shines of Christmas year round, of goodwill. That's the intention of our choice of making it to be true. And so we celebrate the great stories that make that happen. This light around the world. I received a picture from Boston where the Hill family is taking us the service in by live streaming. The sense of knowing from around the world that this experience is being shared in this way. Ashraf, who is a friend in Bethlehem, an Arab, Palestinian, Christian believer, he's staying in Bethlehem when it is very difficult, because for generations his people have been firsthand believers in the Christ child. And as he gives tours in Bethlehem, he wants that historical reality of the birth of Christ to be shared by someone who is native to the land. He has a young family. It's difficult for his children, difficult for his wife. They stay there as a faith commitment. Or Eliza, a story that I've shared with some, who was a woman from Kosovo who the genocide of the war had killed many of her friends, filled up the cemetery. And she was a refugee in Macedonia, and she saw a dream, the dream of one in the middle of a lake who said, "Come and help me." She didn't know what the dream meant. She went to those in her community that couldn't explain it, and then she went to one by the name of Jim, a believer in Christ, a leader in the movement of Jesus. And he said, "That's Jesus coming to you in a dream to say that he too has love for you to receive him, to be baptized in the waters of faith, and then for you to help others to know that same joy, and then being able to go to Kosovo, to her home in the storefront church being built there as a place of reconciliation in a troubled world." The stories continue on. Our Christmas trees, how beautiful they are. Some of them are decorated by the pageantry of gifts that were made by women from Guatemala in support of a family that had been tragically disturbed by the volcano there. So when we really feel the Christmas, we feel with each other. The joy and the sorrow. We know the fear, but we end with the hope. And that's why tonight we also celebrate with what is called communion, the Lord's Supper, that Jesus, 33 years after he was born, took the message of this perfect love that brings a salvation to all who are willing to say, "I believe and I commit." He taught, he served, he lived, he held up boys and girls and men and women. He stood up for the oppressed. He spoke truth to power. He brought people of wealth like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, where they used their position in society to speak hope. And he used the story of the shepherds and showed them that was really true. He had come to bring peace on earth. It would require his death on the cross. It would require that the worst that humanity could do to him still would not defeat the mission of God. The worst that can happen to you doesn't defeat God's purpose in your life. The Christ of the cross is the Christ of the Christmas tree that keeps on giving by the power of his saying, "Unto you, you are forgiven. Believe and you'll be with me in paradise." These words of truth are the words that are real. And so it was in the last days of his life, 33 years after he was born in Bethlehem, just 5 miles away from the manger scene of the cave where Mary had given birth to him. He was in the upper room, a barred room of an early believer by the name of a different Mary, the mother of Mark. He took the bread and he broke it. He blessed it. And he gave it. And said, "Take in remembrance of me. This is the sign of my being born into the world. It is the sign of my flesh." And then he took the cup, raised it, and poured into it a sign of his blood that had flowed through his veins, a sign that in truly he was one of us. He had put skin in the game, and that we would come in all our belief, say, "Yes unto you, Lord." We receive the manger scene, the death scene at Calvary, and the resurrection scene, and know that this is the whole story of peace being brought to earth. As my friends and colleagues of the pastoral staff come to our table now, you're invited, as seekers becoming believers, as believers standing in a commitment, with the same kind of joyful delight, but reverence, of coming to the center aisle, and coming from this way, from each aisle, from the right, from the left going to the right, to pick up the bread and to be able to receive it, to take the cup and to be able to receive it, and then to be able to place that. And to correct myself, you're going to come this way, to take the bread and then the cup and to place it here. The Lord has said to you, "Glory in the highest, peace in our midst," which we find by coming home to the Christ of Christmas. As you're ready, stand in the aisle, come and receive.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.